Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 1208. The topic is nutrition, and the title is Nutrition Clients, Initial Information, Focal Points, and Common Struggles. Okay, so I tried to make the podcast title inclusive in the sense of you'd know what it was, but it might also be just too long. What I wanted to do today was cover just kind of what our nutritional coaching service is like in the broad sense, give some general information, some common things we focus on, common things people struggle with. The idea of this is to just get you familiar with what this service is. We had a listener reach out, ask some questions, and just say they wanted to have an idea of what they would be signing up for. So I wanted to go ahead and kind of give a podcast that I could respond to them, but then also send this to anybody who ever asks. And even if you never sign up for this service, I want to provide information that will help you kind of maybe do it on your own, or how to start on your own, or just something you can take away today to improve your nutrition. One of the biggest things I see people struggle with is what actually matters. A lot of times people worry about what they're eating, but they're not paying attention to how much and when. And it's how much and when that matter way the hell before what matters. So you can eat the best foods in the world, but if you're overeating your calories, you will gain body fat, if that's a concern of yours. Say your concern is performance. Well, you can eat the best foods in the world, but if you undereat, you're not going to have maximal performance. So how much you eat is the most important factor. That's commonly where I start with for most people, because typically they're coming into this being inconsistent. Either they're inconsistently above all the time, inconsistently below all the time, or they're right where they need to be, but they're not consistent with it. So they eat pretty well most days, but not all the days, that kind of thing. So although how we manage the nutrition is different for every single individual, there are some common starting points, some common like aspects of what to address, and then common struggles. So there isn't a single way that I do nutrition for all people. I just do it based on whatever your current habits are, try to clean them up and make them a little bit better for you. So we do have a general format and kind of some information we start with, which is what I want to share. But I do want to get across that for you to learn how to eat healthy long term, whether that's healthy for fat loss, healthy for sport performance, healthy for aesthetics, you know, to look your best, just whatever you want to achieve, you probably want to achieve it and sustain it. You want to keep it. So the way that I like to do for nutrition for people is to get you results, but also to help you keep it. And that's where we want to kind of dispel some of the crazy myths and things, because I'm not trying to sell you a diet plan. Therefore, I can just tell you whatever plan works best for you, you know, and kind of get down to what's most important, where should we put our efforts, and then what are some common things we're going to run into that maybe we need to work to address. So the first thing I commonly do is I exchange kind of Q&A with some people, with a client, and we talk about what their goals are, what their past history is, you know, body height, body weight, if they have any past injuries, like get an idea of what their training activity is. So if it's just a nutrition-only client, they're active and exercising, I just want to kind of know what type of exercise so I can, you know, feed them appropriately for that. If it's a training and nutrition client, then I write their training. It makes it a lot easier. But for the nutrition part, I also ask, you know, coinciding with what their goals are, that's going to factor into nutrition a lot. But also, do they have any food conditions? Do they have any food likes, dislikes? Are they familiar with macronutrient tracking? Have they ever used things like Fitness Pal or My Macros Plus, or, you know, anything like that? And then we also kind of ask, what's your daily schedule look like? When do you wake up? When are you most active? When do you normally eat? What do you normally eat? And I love asking that question, those kind of series of questions, to get an idea of what your lifestyle is so I can help you select the right types of foods and the right focal points that already match your schedule. So that way, it's easier for you to adhere to the program if the program is written around you rather than you having to adapt to the program. You're not going to be able to adapt everything in your life to what you want. You know, if work starts, you know, 9 to 5, then work's 9 to 5. You can't change that to 8 to 4 or, you know, 10 to 8 or whatever. You have to kind of go with what happens in life. So having a nutritional approach that can be morphed and modified and adjusted based on life is extremely, extremely important. So those are kind of the first things we ask. And then what I typically do is send some type of program description in which I'll send them an initial document that has really good kind of overall information. And then we also get into what would be called my journal, which is just a Google Doc where people can write back questions. We talk about, like, I'll go into their food app and review what they did the last couple of days and kind of give them pros and cons and different options and ideas. You know, a lot of people struggle to heat protein. So we talk about what are some protein options and how to best organize that or ensure that you're getting enough protein in. But typically, the first document I send, it has some baseline kind of podcast to help people understand how the nutrition plan is approached and why it'll work, even though it might feel different or less structured than other programs. We don't want black and whites because life doesn't work in black and white. Life is gray, so we want to learn how to live within the gray. So podcast number 41, I've talked about that one before, it's a nutrition podcast titled Diet Right, What Matters Most. We talk about the five most important components of nutrition, what is the order that you should focus on, and why it's that order. So that's a good one to check out if you've never listened to that one yet. If you have trouble accessing any of these, just shoot me an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com and I'll send you a link. Podcast 658 is titled Diet Tracking, Getting the Most from the Least. We learn how to just track basically calories and protein. Nothing else really matters for a long time. That's usually the first struggle. And then we start to fine tune things and worry about like sugars, worry about maybe cholesterol, sodium, things like that. Then podcast 1021 is titled How Much Carbs and Fats Do I Need? And that explains why we don't specify the exact amount of carbs and fats. We want a total calorie goal every day. We want a total protein goal every day, and then carbs and fats can come however they want. That is very helpful to know why that's the case. So podcast 1021 covers that. Then usually what I do is I kind of explain to them what their program is going to focus on. You know, are we focusing mostly on addressing under eating? Are we focusing mostly on addressing inconsistent eating? Are we focusing mostly on trying to find, you know, the exact foods that best match their schedule? Are we trying to focus on the foods that'll make them the strongest, make them the leanest, you know, whatever their goals might be? So we kind of talk about just clarifying exactly what this plan will help them achieve. Then we look at the meal schedule. People typically, if they have a good schedule, I just kind of let them follow their own schedule. If they don't have any schedule, we talk about how to establish a good one. And essentially, we want to just focus on three components, which is eat early, eat often, and eat to match. Eat early means like we want to fuel our body ahead of activity. And that provides the fuel for basic calorie needs. This helps maintain a healthy metabolism, reduces stress within the body, which when it's high, it can impair fat loss, impairs muscle recovery, negative impact on energy, mood, sleep, body composition, all the things. So we want to eat ahead of our activity. Even if we're trying to lose weight, you just eat a little bit less than what you need, but you always eat ahead. So we eat early. Then we want to eat often. The more often we eat, the better we can match the caloric intake versus caloric usage, which allows us to reduce kind of caloric surpluses and deficits throughout the day. And that helps us lose body fat faster, improve body composition, improve energy, mood, all the good stuff. And then we eat to match our activity. We want to have our caloric intake kind of match our caloric usage. Now, this is not only from day to day, but it also means within the day. Even if you're trying to lose weight, you want to eat like kind of to match your activity, but just a smidge less than your activity all day. If you're trying to build muscle, you have to match your activity, but a smidge more all day. If you're trying to peak performance, but stay lean, then you have to go into the activity, like whether it's your workout or sport or whatever, you have to go into that at a little bit of a surplus, and then you recover out of it at a little bit of a deficit. And there's a ton of ways to kind of waive that. So we kind of talk through that. Podcast 1147, nutrition podcast titled Eat Early, Eat Often, Eat to Match. We'll help explain this in a further detail. Then we cover food choices. Again, there's not much of a concern over what are people eating, except for if it's, you know, high sugar content. If they're eating, you know, 200 grams of sugar a day, we definitely have to address that. If they're eating like 5,000, you know, milligrams of sodium, they better be an athlete and be using that up. Otherwise, they're going to have some issues. And if they're eating a lot of fried foods, you know, a lot of foods that just kind of are hard on digestion, they're not going to feel really well. So there are some food components in regards to like what we eat that do matter. So I do want to address that in there, and we give them, you know, podcasts to learn more about that. I also do the weekly reviews. I'll go into their food tracking app, look and see what foods they're eating, give suggestions on maybe replacing things or substitutions, things like that. But podcast 861, again, this is in the handout. All these podcasts are in the handout with the direct URL so clients can listen to them. Podcast 861, nutrition podcast, meal comparison, and it's titled What Makes a Good Meal Good? So we can learn what is a good meal. Podcast 1033, nutrition podcast, macronutrient quality, what are the best foods? So those two podcasts, we have them listen to learn how to make better food choices and what role that plays in our program. Then we talk about food tracking, and typically I encourage people to start using some type of macronutrient tracking app. Even if they don't want to do that forever, don't worry, you don't have to, but it's a really good way to learn like portion control and get immediate feedback and stay on track of things. You're always going to be more proactive if you do tracking rather than reactive based on how your body is changing or feeling. You're also like, you're always kind of reacting, you know, a week late. Like you do something for a week, see how you feel, and then you don't really know if it's made a change or not made a change. You don't really know what's been consistent or what to change from. So by tracking things, it gives us consistent numbers, gives us predictable responses, and then we can make changes and get predictable responses in the way that we want. So tracking is extremely helpful. We have a YouTube video, actually, for MyFitnessPal tutorial. I also will send tutorials for other type of tracking apps if that's what the person wants to use. And then also we have a tutorial for how to measure foods. So that way you know how to kind of measure your foods out and enter them into the tracking data. 100% of the time, if you track your food for at least, say, a month, 2 months, you then will have an idea of how to do it, and you never have to track it like all the time for the rest of your life. You might track it just to stay on point if you have a big goal, or you might track it maybe once a month, you know, just for a couple of days just to see if you're on track. But typically, tracking something isn't what you have to do for the rest of your life. It's just a good way to learn how to manage food properly. And then with that increased knowledge, you can then kind of manage it with less strict habits built around that. In regards to tracking, but still be able to maintain the good habits. And then we talk about, once we talk about tracking, we talk about what to track and how much to track. So the first things we typically focus on is tracking caloric intake on like our like active days and non-active days. If you're a little less active on some days, you should eat a little less. If you're more active on other days, you should eat more. So there is like kind of like a training day and a non-training day, or a high active day and a non-active day, depending on whether the person exercises or doesn't. Podcast 1131 is a nutrition podcast titled The Need for Caloric Consistency, and that explains why we start by paying attention to calories. Nothing else matters if your calories aren't correct. Literally, nothing else you are doing matters. I'm going to say that again and get really awkwardly quiet because I want this to sink in. Nothing you do will have long-term positive effect if you do not know your calories. Go ahead, throw out every excuse you can possibly think of so you don't have to do that, so you don't have to track your calories. Go ahead, let's hear it. You know, go ahead, I'm listening. Yep, sure. Yep. Oh, yeah, I know. I know you don't have time for that. Oh, yeah, I know. It's always frustrating, and every time you've tried, you know, it just seems overwhelming. Yep. Oh, I know. It feels too restrictive. What if I want to eat and I don't want to write it down? I don't want to have to always be accountable for this. Oh, I know it's too much pressure. Yep. All the excuses. I'm being a total jerk right now. But the reason why is, I understand 100% that adding something to be accountable to right now in your life is going to be a pain in the butt. I know that. However, I don't make the rules. I'm the one who understands them and tells you what they are, but I don't make them. You know, if I could help everybody, you know, be six-pack abs and amazing performance and they never had to count a calorie in their life, sure as hell, I'd love to do that. I don't want to count calories either. But unfortunately, it's really freaking good way to know what you're doing and know if you're on track and if all your efforts in the gym are actually getting 100% of their outcome. If all your efforts in nutrition are actually getting 100% of their outcome. I mean, you can accident yourself way, you know, into fat loss. You can accident your way into a little bit more strength, a little more muscle. But how are you going to sustain it and how are you going to build upon that, you know, in the long term? So tracking calories is absolutely the best place to start. You don't have to stay there, but it is the best place to start. Podcast 1131, Nutrition Podcast, The Need for Caloric Consistency, explains that. Okay? Then we also track our protein. Protein can be usually between 0.6 grams to 1 gram per pound of relative lean weight, you know, kind of like your target weight or what you think you would look like weigh if you were like, you know, looking good, looking the way you want to weigh. So if I'm 300 pounds, but I really want to be 220, I'm going to eat based off of 220. I'm not going to eat based off 300. So we want to have our protein at 0.6 to 1 gram per pound of like ideal weight or lean weight. That's where we start. I typically, if a person's very athletic and they have a very high performance aspect to their goals, I also talk about carbohydrate timing and making sure they eat the right type of carbohydrates at the right time in front of their activity level. That's super duper 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 important for a performance. So we absolutely cover that. So that's pretty much everything we hand out. Is everything specific to the individual, but it covers, you know, kind of meal schedule, food choices, food tracking, our macronutrient goals. So we cover all that. They get sent an online journal that they can use to write to me, and we write back and forth. I review their food every single week. We talk about the pros and cons, the goods and the bads, all that stuff specific to their needs. So it's a very personalized approach. I think it's a pretty damn good approach. I wish I would have had this when I was younger. And that's my goal, is trying to give people what I would want and what I believe would help me the most is what I want to provide for people as well. So that's what we go for. The common struggles that people face is just being consistent with their calorie targets. So they'll undereat, overeat, you know, that kind of thing. Most often, the biggest reason why is they react rather than being proactive. So they'll enter all their food at the end of the day and say, oh crap, I didn't eat enough food, or oh crap, I overate. So how do we fix that? Is you don't track afterwards. You track ahead. You know, plan the next day, plan out the meals you think you're going to have. And for the most part, you know, you might be pretty accurate most of the time. One meal might change, sure, but then you'll kind of know that it's changing from what you had planned, and then you're more kind of signaled to adapt for that or account for that. So if you track from ahead, or even if you track midday or track right before your last meal of the day, see if you can enter your data before your last meal of the day to see where you're at. You'll then know how many calories you're supposed to have. So the kind of phrasing we think of is know where you are. If you know where you're at, you're not going to get to the end of the day and be surprised, right? If you're proactive rather than reactive, that's going to help you stay on track. Now, the other thing they mess up is just hitting protein targets. Most people undereat their protein. So you have to know what are protein sources that fit within your foods and like what are foods that you enjoy that are good protein sources. That's going to be helpful. I went through with a client where we listed a whole bunch of protein sources. I had them kind of highlight or kind of like pull out the ones that they actually liked, the ones that they believed could fit into their schedule. You know, and then we said, okay, now be mindful of including these in your meals. You know, if you know for breakfast, like eggs is a good protein source, maybe a source of meat if you want to have some kind of meat for breakfast. Some people will do like, you know, Greek yogurt. There's a billion like sources. Some people do like a protein shake mixed together with other things. But just being mindful of, here's my list of protein foods. Do I have one of these foods in each of my meal? Again, it comes down to plan ahead. If you know your sources ahead of time, you can then account for whether they're in the meals while you're deciding to eat the meals, deciding what to eat. So again, it's being proactive, being ahead. That is what is going to help you stay on track, be on track. Reactive eating is why you are where you are. If this makes sense, if you're not where you want to be, and nutrition is a factor of that, it's most likely because you reactively eat. You eat based on how you feel. You eat based on what's available. You don't plan ahead. You eat just like, oh, I'm in the moment, I should eat, boom. I'm going to react to the feeling of being hungry. I'm going to react to the environment I'm in. I'm going to react to what's available. You have to work on being a little more proactive. Try to plan ahead, maybe educate, you know? Maybe be mentally ready by education, be physically ready by meal prepping some things. It doesn't mean you have to cook, you know, 10 pounds of chicken and broccoli and rice and put it in all these plastic containers and then eat, you know, cold, crappy food the rest of your life. In no way whatsoever, huh? So, for example, some of the ways I do it is, like, during the day, I have a hard time getting food in, as everybody else does, because we're all damn busy, you know? That's just life. So I have chicken sausages that microwave in 60 seconds, and jasmine rice that microwaves in 90 seconds. So in 2.5 minutes, I can have those two microwaved, dump them into a container, and eat them. And I can eat all of that in less than, like, 8 minutes. I've timed myself, and I can eat it all. I cook it and eat it in under 8 minutes. So I can't say I don't have time for it because I absolutely 100% have time for 8 minutes. You know, you can do that. Another option I have is there's a protein powder, like a meal powder by Animal, which is a derivative of Universal Nutrition. Animal products are kind of like they're more hardcore, like bodybuilder style products. And it's just called Meal. It's blended kind of like three variations of proteins, I believe, and three variations of carbohydrates. It's like sweet potato, oats, and something else. But it's all just a powder. But it has carbohydrates and fats in it along with protein. And I'll mix that with water, or if I have milk available because I'm 280 pounds so I can use the calories. You know, depending on what I have available. But I know that I have that powder. I have a big jar of it at work. I have a big jar of it at home. And wherever I'm at, if I need a quick meal or if I'm running out the door, I just mix that in water, take it with me. So being established in knowing that I have things ready and available. You know, I have packages of cashews in our, like, kind of pantry area in our kitchen that I can grab anytime I want. I have, you know, meat that I can put in a bagel and eat, make a sandwich in under 2 minutes and eat anytime I want. I have the sausages and rice. I have the protein meal powder. I mean, it's making sure that things are available. Doesn't mean I have to pre-make them. I just have to make sure they're available. These are all things I can eat quick, I can eat fast, and they're all good choices. They help me reach my goals. So a big thing to just remember is you're unlikely to react your way into your best life, if this makes sense. So if I go through my day reacting to what is happening, it's incredibly unlikely, and dare I say it's not going to happen, but it's incredibly unlikely that you're going to lead to your best possible life by just simply responding and reacting to your days. Typically, why you are where you are now is because you react to your days. We do very minimal planning ahead. We do very minimal mindfulness to ensure that certain things happen for our nutrition and physical health. We make sure we get our to-do list done. But too often, what's on our to-do list isn't our nutrition and training, right? So we react to the day, we get to the end of the day, we ate like crap, we didn't exercise, we're too damn tired, so we go to sleep and we say we'll do it tomorrow. It's not going to work. You know, that's not going to be your best life. So if you want a better life, if you want something different than where you are now, you have to do different than what you do now. Okay? You have to educate a little bit, you have to plan a little bit ahead, and learn, like, kind of what are your best ways to be more proactive rather than reactive. That's going to help you live your best life, help you move forward from where you are now, is education, planning, and then actually doing. Do it, you know. If you have any questions about nutrition in general, if you have any questions about our service, if you want to ask for, you know, any help or anything like that, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. I hope listening to this has helped kind of enlighten you on what podcasts would be helpful to listen to, what are the best things to focus on. If you have any questions, as I said, just reach out. I'm always, always available. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you like today's podcast or the podcast in general, please share the podcast. The more people we share it with, the more people can help. So if you share it on social media, that's amazing. That reaches the most people. But you can also share it in email, text message, or even just a conversation. If you hear people asking nutrition and training questions, direct them to reach out to us at brutalirongym@gmail.com, and we'll make them a podcast. Thank you to the patrons of the podcast, the people who financially support the podcast through the Podbean platform, and through the podcast donation link accessible on our Instagram homepage. The podcast is well over $1,000 a year, but we really appreciate the financial help to help cover that so we can actually do this every single day. So thank you, thank you, thank you to the patrons. Also, if you like the information we share in our podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything that you want to know, let us know at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.